This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Safety FM with Jay Allen. I hope everything is good and grand inside of your neck of the woods as we are hanging out on this lovely Tuesday, January the 28th of 2025. Oh yes, oh yes, we are finally back with the continuation of the episode with Sheldon Primus. So we took some deep dives into some stuff related to OSHA and things along those lines during the first portion of this episode. So now what's going to happen is we get into part two. We're going to talk about some other things that are going on in Sheldon Primus's world. So sit back, relax, and take a listen to what is going on with Sheldon Primus here on Safety FM with Jay Allen.
So as we look at the whole thing, and then, of course, you see the rise of AI, and then we're seeing now humanoids. And just in case, you know, the robot aspect of it, of some of the things. And I know that you just referenced incorporating cameras, unless they're there all the time, being able to see stuff. Do you look at it, this might be part of the standard that goes forward, where there are these robots that are maybe potentially walking around, recording what's going on in real time, where it can acquire additional data?
They probably will. That's the next logical step, right? Because honestly, you want to, if you're a person who's going to want to help people walk in the future, you're going to want to be that person that's going to help someone who might need to have a technology go defuse a bomb and not you. At that point, you're probably going to want to see that stuff really advance and replace a human in certain stages. But at that point, this is the ethics statements. Are we going to start building in fail safes in that new equipment? Is it going to be regulated that we're going to build some sort of thing that is a hard limiter that says this thing can't, you know, like some of the old sci-fi movies, it can't take a human life, right? That's always the thing that the sci-fi writers know to put in, right? So maybe we might have to do some sort of regulation that says if you build technology that does this, you are now illegal. Not just in the U.S., but this is a global thing. And that's the scary part about AI. It's going to force us to globally play nice. Yeah?
Well, playing nice is good, but I mean, I it's kind of interesting because I just look at like some of those dystopian future movies about how all these things, the rise of the machines, the turn against, we'll even go Terminator with Skynet and all that kind of fun stuff. And because it's so new, but how much things have changed so quickly with it. It's just amazing on when you start taking a look at the technology and everything that's able to do. So I don't know.
Exponential growth, because you're actually seeing it from, you know, when we first got started with the chat, there's no way you could ask it to do a simulation or a picture for you, right? They're not there yet at that first point, but now you literally have all the other AIs pop up, and now one specializes in images and one specializes in this, and that makes the growth exponential. So from the first time any of you heard about AI to maybe you talked to someone yesterday, I bet you've noticed that, wow, we could do that too. And that's the growth.
Well, what I've seen a couple of people do is go out there and actually make their own versionality of a chat box. So meaning that all of a sudden, if I want to access whoever's running the website, and if they focus mostly on safety, they have all, we'll say, a data dump as it went into there. So if you ask it or prompt it for a question, which I think that's another conversation to have where people need to really understand on how to prompt these machines.
Yes.
But when you prompt it, it gives you information as if you were interacting with either the literature that the person has put out or the information they would have provided to a client. Do you see that being a kind of a bigger step as we move forward? Do you think that those will be paywall behind, or do you think that people will put those in front of the paywall just to kind of get them to next service level?
Yeah, there's always going to be that call to action, you know. So most people are probably going to do some sort of tiered way to monetize. And honestly, there's hardly any way around it. The only thing that you could do is possibly get governmental type of access to some of these things, like in your local library or, you know, some type of free type of service. And then also you have those people who will let you do the tip jar, and they will be the developers. So I think that's going to be part of the future there. Overall, though, I think that the training is still the scaling part. How AI learns is honestly the input. So now that it has so many users, the training is going to be more niched. So when it understands real small, complex, micro communities, now it's going to end up getting even smarter. So again, that's going to help everything. If there's a way you can include a product or a service, I've actually even used it for risk analysis. And I think that's going to be the future of actual regulation. You can now get a risk analysis done with the help of AI with certain situations, because now you could actually put in data of injury and illness reports. You could pick out the risk analysis, and whatever that bow tie or whatever the analysis is, at that point, you could start getting a frequency of understanding if this happens now in this type of environment, this is the smart regulation we should do. It's frequency. So if we notice that there's a lot of amputation in manufacturing, OSHA right now is looking at that by the OSHA 300 logs that happened. But you plug this information into AI, they can now reason out that says, all right, you've got this type of cutting machine and this type of activity. This worker is probably not prone to doing a lockout tagout program because of this other data. Now we need to regulate this industry, and that's the future.
So the future there, and you referencing the OSHA 300 logs, for the most part, a good chunk of the larger scale GPTs in the world, or the AIs in the world, as we're talking, do not have live access to the internet. As we look at this and being able to get information and garner information in real time on how it's able to recognize risk, do you see that changing where we'll have to access internet in real time, opposed to it being, I don't even know how long it's delayed, because that's the other portion. Because if we use ChatGPT, because that's probably one of the most popular ones, it used to be months that it was delayed, or with old databases that it was pulling from. And it still tells you currently, even with the paid version, that it cannot access it in real time. So will that need to be the change going into the future?
Yeah, that's actually part of the change. And the data drawback would be the Request for Information Act. So when someone does the Request for Information Act, the agency now gets that information and they try to get it to you as quickly as they can. Sometimes they don't. So that little drawback made it a little bit harder for you to get that information out to the public. But OSHA is slightly different with the record keeping. And that's why I mentioned it before, the Record Keeping Act, when this got changed back in the Biden administration. And for those of you that don't know, this has been really a wild thing. So the OSHA rules for injury and illnesses gives a certain criteria that says this is a recordable injury. This one, forget about that. So they give you specific rules. This is in 1904 is OSHA's regulation book on that one. So when you go over those different rules, one of the things that it tells you that you really need to be aware of is something that is a recordable injury that makes people that going to miss a day, going to be restricted or transferred from working in the field into the office. So OSHA has this record keeping rule that records every time this happens, and you are recording it yourself if you're a high risk individual or in the industry, not individual. You could be a high risk individual too. Both, you know, but the industry itself. So not to go into the weeds too much, but what'll happen is once you self-report, that goes into OSHA's database. The only thing they're going to protect is the personal information about who was injured. The situation is not going to be protected. So the OSHA 300 logs now goes to the regional office, the local office. They see your number, your company, by your employee identification number. That's like a fingerprint of your company. So they now know companies that have 3 years is the magic number, according to the OSHA data. 3 years, once they see you get an increase of injuries and illnesses, that's going to trigger an inspection. Now, if you do an AI component to this, they could actually begin to believe you're going to do this in a regular frequency. Now it comes. Is OSHA going to wait till something happens, or are they going to go ahead and be proactive and create a regulation? That's when OSHA is going to use AI.
How far away do you think we are from that? Because as you know, and I'm not picking on OSHA because remember, I have, well, I had friends in OSHA during the previous administration. Yeah. So they're kind of behind when it comes to certain things. Do you see that? So do you see this during this term four?
No, no, it won't be in this term. OSHA has, again, predictable patterns. And so the pattern right now is, from what I'm seeing, is if OSHA gets midterm elections, going to make a big difference. So for the U.S., every 2 years is midterm elections. So if we get a big change in the House or the Senate in midterm election in 2 years, then in 4 years, OSHA could actually be set up already. The data is in existence. They have it. They just need the right regulation to release the data. You could go right now to OSHA.gov and you could manipulate stuff on the data and statistics page like you'll never believe. And it's really there. So just go to OSHA.gov/data and you could just go nuts with data and statistics. So it's there. The only thing that they're waiting for is to connect the two pieces. So the only will to do that is with the Injury Prevention Program, the I2P2, right? We can't say that. So if I2P2 comes in effect, that's the connecting piece. Federal OSHA has been trying to do it for a long time. So you get a president that's not a lame duck Democratic president that could possibly repeat a nice young president that's, you know, one of these people that are going to be very, you know, charismatic, if you would, like an Obama, possibility during that administration, you could see that piece connect.
So, I mean, it's interesting because if you look at, you say, nice young president-elect, the last three, because we had two of the same over the last three, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see on how those things will change. But then we can just take these deep dive into politics, which I'm not 100% sure that's what I want to do. So yeah. Tell us, I mean, you gave us a lot of good information there. Tell us what you're working on currently. Or I know a tidbit of it, but not enough to be dangerous. So what are you working on?
I've been a prolific writer as of late. That's my Mexico trip. It helped me write a little. So I'm coming out with a free ebook that's going to help us with the trends of 2025. I had to do a quick change from what it was before election. So I am currently changing one chapter, but I'm going to release that probably my next episode and with the 300. So after that, I am working on, as you said, an AI prompt book. I'm already on that one. I'm a couple of chapters away. Ta-da. And then I am also going back to coaching. So I revamped my consulting coaching program so that the people who really feel like they're ready to be consultants, I've got some tips, and I it's been really hard for me to mentor people the way I have been one-on-one and scale it. So I have created a way to scale this mentorship program, and it's going to be structured as a 3-month and a 6-month to do it justice. And then truly, if you're starting your consulting business, I'll work with you the first 3 months. I'll work with you the first 6 months, up to you. And then you're off and you're going to be sharing resources with me. So that's the twist.
So talk to them a little bit. If someone's out there that's interested in becoming a safety consultant, they're saying, hey, this is the next step in my career. What would you say to them that needs to be the bare minimum? Like, what should be the bare minimum understanding? Because just to kind of explain how your program works, do they need to have any background in safety? Or is this kind of like, hey, I just graduated. I know nothing. Can we start?
I actually have an actual intake sheet. So I'm looking for the fit. I'm not looking for anybody who just think they're in safety. So the idea is I want someone who is, they know that they are ready for safety consulting. They've been through all of the steps that it would take, such as boots on the ground safety. Next step is going to be supervising people. And next step is going to be controlling a program. So if you have that in any kind of capacity and you feel you're ready because you now know that you have what it takes to stick around, even when things look bad, that's when you know you're ready. When you feel like, I'm going to just go and just give myself a chance. I've given someone else a chance long enough. I'm going to just roll the dice on me. That's when you're ready. So the intake form is to, it's just to help both of us understand if you're ready for it. And then am I ready to take on someone that fits this profile? So it's a two-way street.
So would we say, quote unquote, they need to have X amount of years of experience prior to attempting to contact you in regards if they want to be involved with this?
No certain amount of years. You're going to know by your qualifications, right? So meaning if you got out of school and you're just hitting it out of the park with all these issues that have been coming up, and the organization that you're with, they just keep promoting you. They keep telling you, hey, man, you're doing it. And you know in your mind, you're like, I could do this a little bit better on my own.
Well, remember, there's some people that get put into safety because it's a torture program. We don't have anybody else. We're moving you over there. So let's remember those people.
I got a whole bunch of students that just got injured and now they're in safety. I've got a boatload of students for that one. So honestly, it's just, you know, you know that you've put in some dues to this. And the reason why I say put in some dues is honestly, you're going to be thinking about insurance, right? That's part of being a good consultant. You need to get insured. You need to get your license and bonding. If you have error and omissions, you're going to get your insurance to pick that up, but you don't want to have many errors and omission or your business isn't going to be good. So obviously, in order for you to be a good consultant, you got to be solid in safety and have some sort of career enough that you know that you have critical thinking skills. So that's really what I'm doing. And when I get everybody on, I do just very easy, Sheldon.coach. That's the easiest domain name I could think of, Sheldon.coach. So, and then you can just do the intake form. I read every intake form, obviously, and I want to make sure that we're a good fit. I'm not going to charge someone to coach them if we're not a good fit and I feel like they're not going to give me their all, they're going to quit halfway. Nobody needs that. I want you to knock it off the park because you're attached to my name.
So let's talk real quick. So will you go through the whole process? So let's say, for instance, I just finished working at a company. I'm really encouraged on wanting to become a safety consultant. Will you show the person how to create their own business, what paperwork needs to be filled out? I know it varies from state to state a little bit, but will you go through that whole process?
Start to finish, because honestly, most people are scared about the starting part. And I believe you should start like right now. Honestly, the best part, the best time to start is yesterday. The next best time is now, right? Whoever said that, brilliant. So at this point, I believe if everyone were to at least get started with their whatever it is, if you want to do an S-Corp or LLC, we talk you through that. And the first 3 month session is to get not only you started, get your business going, but it's also going to get you the things that you need to hit the ground running. You know, you got to get a Facebook account for a business. You need your LinkedIn account for business. You need to learn how to work Facebook ads and LinkedIn ads and Google ads and things like that. You need to know about what are cookies and what do I have to do with pixels and what's my business pixels. All that stuff is just to hit the ground running. What do I do with social media? How do I gain clients? Where do I look for them? We do that first. The next 3 months after you get the foundation, now we're looking for how do we grow? So what are some things we could do for exponential growth? Marketing concerns. What kind of services and products do I need to add to the business for the downtimes? So we talk about that, how to run your own events, how to actually do some of the things that you guys have been listening to me do, you know, even down to making a radio broadcast, you know, that kind of stuff to grow the business. This is the second 3 months, and each week is lesson time. You learn from me. We do this together, and every 2 weeks, we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to talk on the phone for two hours, and we're going to just figure out an hour and a half, 2 hours, you let me know. And we're going to figure out how did it go the last 2 weeks. This is the assignment for the next 2 weeks. Let's knock it out the park. And week by week, we've got special things we're going to focus on. 1 week, we'll get your advertising all set up. The next week, we're going to get you guys actually, you know, set up with how to find clients. What's the email sequence that I need to keep people, keep myself top of mind? That's the stuff that we'll be doing.
I think I love exactly how you have that layout going on, because I think that some of the consulting stuff that I've seen, the follow-up is the crucial part, and a lot of people will not do it unless it's very high-tier priced in regards to the setup itself. So if I'm going from the transition of being an employee to being a consultant, this is what I want to do. I know you've had several conversations about this, but what are the mental models that need to change from employee to my own business? Yeah. And probably tie in there if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they're not going to be a Fortune 500 business the moment they decide to leave where they're working to where they're going.
That's one of the first things you got to figure out is, what does life look like when you're 100% by yourself and in charge of your life? Usually it looks like somebody who's going to say, all right, I get to sleep in, you know, that's the first thing I hear.
It's like, I wish
sleep in. And that's usually the last thing you get to do is you don't get to sleep in. So the first thing to do is, while you're still working, imagine what the day looks like. Imagine what time your alarm's going to go off. Imagine what's the first thing. Are you going to go for your coffee first? You're going to do your run first. Just imagine what that lifestyle looks like. Imagine that you're 10 o'clock, and what's the 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock hours look like? Is that recording? Is that marketing? Is that me following up? So that's the first step, is really imagine it. And if it feels true to you, now the next step is grab a hold of your partner. Whoever your partner is, they got to be involved with you. So you don't want to get too many steps along without your partner. So if you're single, forget this step. Talk to your dog. Let the dog and the cat know that they're going to have to worry about feeding a little later, because you're going to be busy. But if you're got a partner, step two, partner's got to be involved. You're going to give them the plan. The stuff you just visualized, you're going to talk to them and you're going to let them know, this is the plan. They will trust you if you could see it. So you got to tell your partner the plan. And if you want to do year one, year two, year three, do it that way. Or this is the first 3 months. This is what the next 3 months look like. And that's the first thing. Step three, and I know we've given you a bunch already, but the step three is keep the job. Don't go ahead and say, I'm out. Deuces. You don't want to do that, okay? Keep the job. What you want to do now is use your vacation time, use your sick time if you want to go ahead and do that. Shh, I won't tell. It's Vegas. So use your sick time, any of that stuff. And that's when you're going to do your trainings. That's when you're going to reach out and do your mock OSHA audits for someone who's a business friend or someone who is a cousin, someone who has a business in your church. You're going to start with them, and you're going to do services and training for them just on your own, and test it out a little. Let your partner see that you're making money in that way. Let your plan be that, okay, next year, we're in 2025, you know, I could put in my notice, January of 2026. Do something like that during this time period. So those are the first things that can get you going. The next few steps you guys could get in safetyconsultantblueprint.com. How's that?
Well, let me, I remember years and years ago, you told me something. And ever since I heard you say that, I repeat it to other people. I, of course, accredit you for referencing it. But if you're contemplating on doing a business, you told me at that time that what you tell people is to start the business now.
Yes.
Regardless of if it's going to be a year or two later, or you're going to do it full force, because you start having that amount of time that shows that you've been a business owner. Is that still the practice that you tell people?
Yeah, absolutely. Look at anybody now. If you want to go and you're trying to figure out, all right, what restaurant do I want to go to? And you look up Google and you're looking at the reviews, and one says this restaurant was actually founded in 2021, or this restaurant was founded in 1920. You're probably going to be like, wow, that restaurant's been around so long, it's got to be good. Yeah, so that's the same thing with your business. You see those businesses that have the born on dates and their t-shirts or whatever, the older the date, the more you trust them. So right now the psychological game starts. You want the client to think of you as a trusted person. So it's a psychological game as well. So the longer you could age your company ahead of time, do it. It's just going to help you long term. And there's also some implications to that, because if you now have your company, those were some things that you could, you know, you could apply for loans, you could get your bank account, you could do whatever you need to do to start separating your money from company money. So that's another reason too.
So if you have somebody right that's out there right now that's teeter-tottering, they're not sure what to do, what would be the encouragement to them in regards of either moving forward or not moving forward? Because let's be realistic, this is not for everyone.
Yep.
It's one of those things that you have to be committed to this path if that's what you want to do. And if you're not, that's perfectly fine. I mean, I'm not saying one's good and one isn't, or vice versa. I mean, this is not for everyone, because you have to make sure that you're a go-getter in regards to generating some of the business. So what if they're teeter-tottering, what would you tell them?
Yeah, if you're teeter-tottering, that means that you're making a mental, psychological, like, decision that is pretty much a mixture of, this is what I want to do, but this is what makes sense. So that's usually what you're the teetering and the tottering, those two sides, right? So the deciding factor is this: what signs has the universe been giving you? Usually it's a quiet nudge at first, or some silent thing like, I could do this. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have 2, 3, 4 people come by and say, man, you'd be good as a consultant. And then the next thing would be someone who you know is just as deep into business as you are, as a competitor or someone else, and they're into their safety consultant, or excuse me, their safety officer job, and they quit and become a consultant. And you're like, ooh, I think I could do this. And then all of a sudden, you now are probably going to be put in a situation that says, I don't want to be put in too many of these situations. And you start thinking in your head and you start making the plan. That's when you have to figure out, it started with a little thought, now I'm getting put in situations. That's the universe yelling at you. So if you get a lot of those situations where you just feel the universe is yelling at you for change, you got to listen. Those are the people that I want.
So let me ask the strange question, because you know it's going to come up. Where does the money factor? Would that be part of the reason of the teeter-totter? Because remember, if you're working at an employer and they're an established employer, you normally have pretty good income that comes in, you know, you expect it every 2 weeks, once a month, whatever it is. But starting off as a new business, I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking, because you don't know where that first meal is going to come from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did it wrong, I guess, because on my side, I left the job, took my severance, and also cashed out my 401A, because I was government. So I cashed that out, and that was my seed money for the business. So literally, if you're thinking Vegas, you know, I put it all down, right? I'm like, I got everything riding on this. So that's a lot of risk. We're looking at risk reward. So if you're doing that type of calculation, some people could do that calculation because they may have already landed someone that promised them a big job right away and said, you know, their first client is going to supplement their income. Some people could do that. So if you're not that type of person, what you're going to do is you're going to do the soft launch. So one thing at a time, and let that gain some money, and then do the next thing. So usually the soft launch will start with family and friends, helping them with their businesses, trying to find written programs you could do for them, do mock OSHA audits you could do for them, or if you're U.S.-based, get the 10 and 30-hour training for general industry and construction. Easiest way to get into an organization is if you could do the 10 and 30-hour training in construction and general industry. Some people, especially if you're in states that require that card for business and for work, you now have a driver. So what you're doing during this time period as you age your company is you're looking for drivers that are going to sustain you as an independent contractor. It's different for every specialty. And then the other thing you're looking for is, how can I get some way of making myself more marketable when I'm on my own? What that will look like is you probably going for every training you can and having the employer pay for it until you get out of business. So am I telling you to do that as a fraud? No, I'm just telling you that's how I see it happen.
I'm not disagreeing or agreeing, but I understand where you're coming from. That's for sure. So Sheldon, if people want to hear more about you, find out more about you, where can they go?
Well, generally, if you're a podcast listener, you're going to look up Safety Consultant with Sheldon Primus. Me and Jay were just talking about it. I refer to it as the Safety Consultant Show, but if you're looking for it on any service, it's going to be Safety Consultant with Sheldon Primus. That's the full name of the show. You get me there. For consulting, actually, you could email me, which is, you know, I broke my website, SheldonPrimus.com. And I broke it good. So I'm trying to put it back together, and I'm probably going to hire somebody, but I'm cheap. I don't want to hire anybody. I want to do it myself. So, but the email's still good. So Sheldon@SheldonPrimus.com. You'll see the SheldonPrimus.com show up in January, but I'm going to get that back. And if you're looking to do consulting, then you honestly, you want to go to Sheldon.coach.
Well, Sheldon, I appreciate you coming on.
No, thank you, my friend. This has been awesome.
Okay, so that's going to wrap up our time together. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did, as I was hanging out with Sheldon and doing all the fun stuff that we got to do. If you want to find out more information about Sheldon, you can come and find him here at safetyfm.com, and that will lead you directly into his podcast. And you can find out all the information on what's going on with Sheldon and the world of safety consulting. I've been your safety manager and host, Jay Allen, and until next time, be safe.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.